and with me is
Hello.
Welcome to Screen Damage, episode 6. We tend to talk mostly in English, but sometimes we move into Hindi as well. Today we are talking about the movie Deul, also known as The Temple, from the year 2011, directed by Umesh Vinayak Kulkarni. The movie availability, our social media, and how you can reach us is all available in the description. So let's get to the episode.
What kind of Marathi movies have you watched before this?
I haven't watched many Marathi movies before this, and I've only watched like Fundri, Saira, Pune 52, movies like that. That might be like covering 75% of what I've watched, and haven't watched many regional movies.
I think it's about the same for me. So like I was just putting stuff from Amazon which had subtitles in it. So that's how I just came about this movie, and like saw the IMDb ratings, they were pretty high. But you have to take that with a grain of salt in Indian movies. Any Indian movies, like, they have high ratings and they are usually trash, like the last one we discussed. Bahubali has like a very high rating.
Yeah, it does. A lot of Indian web series also tend to have that as well, like which are on IMDb.
One before this, I think I saw Nat Samrat.
Right.
That was getting a lot of praise, but I didn't particularly like that. Maybe we'll discuss it someday. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that also has Nana Patekar in it, so.
There you have it. That's the connection.
Yeah.
How did you come about this movie, though? Like, you were the one who suggested we watch this.
I don't know, just looking through Amazon's Prime thing and just adding stuff that had subtitles in it. Because I'm not a native X language speaker, so other than Hindi, I don't understand anything else. So, yeah.
Thoughts, etc. What did you think about the movie?
I thought it was trying to do the same things as People Alive, but for religion. Whereas People Alive does it for social and political sort of stuff. It's doing satire, right?
There's a lot of political stuff and social stuff in here as well, in Deul as well.
Yeah, but the main thing is...
The main topic for satire is religion here, yeah.
I mean, obviously, religion itself has, like, as this movie presents it, like, connections with socio-political, or has implications that are extended to socio-political things.
Yeah. So,
I mean, it goes hand in hand. Even in, I think, Peepli, there was some aspect of religion, right?
I don't exactly remember it well, but, yeah, there might have been.
Okay. So, other than that, what did you think?
So, your thing, just so you're clear, your only thing about this movie is that it's similar to People Alive. That's all you have to say about it.
Yeah, that, and I didn't particularly like it. As with, like, People Alive, I had some problems, but, like, that's another topic, but, like, this...
let's start with what you liked about it. What things were actually which you thought were good in this movie?
I mean, the things I like about this, I like about most Marathi movies that I've watched, like the banter and stuff, the certain slice of life moments or whatever it presents, those kind of things I liked in this. So other than that, nothing really sticks out. Satire is kind of touch and go. You don't really... I didn't really get engrossed in it. So, at least after like the initial half where like the old guy who was building the hospital leaves, I think after that it just goes into like a mode which you don't really, or I didn't really care much for. So,
what was it about? Like, was it anything to do with like the old guy himself, or
No, it just the story kind of goes into a lull and like it doesn't really pick up after that.
The lull that you're talking about, do you think that it's it mirrors how it's how the village itself is like goes into a lull after getting the religious money that is being flown into the town?
That's one way to look at it, but like I don't see it exactly. So
that's all you have to say about this, or
yeah, other than that they're emptying things of what I don't like, but like I don't think that's interesting. Me bashing the movie needlessly, so
I don't know. Needlessly,
One thing that really sticks out to me is that Nasiruddin Shah cameo. That's like, why?
What do you mean, why?
Why him?
Why him? Like, what? What does why he detract? Why him?
And what the fuck? Why do you need that specific scene?
It's a metaphor for the guy himself, right? It's something he's hallucinating.
Guy himself, maybe, or like it's a divine intervention from like the previous culture because that's the dig site. But I don't know, why do you need that guy, or just why couldn't any other actor do that? That's like 5 second scene. I don't know. He's not a native Marathi speaker, so like that sticks out.
That sticks out in what sense?
I mean, he's not really, I mean, there's not much dialogue from him in that scene, if
you've... So?
So, like, when he does speak, it doesn't seem natural or whatnot, so...
I don't know, I mean, I thought it didn't really add or detract anything from it, like, it was just there, and it served a purpose... I guess. Should we get the story clear first? Like what the movie's about? It's like the major point of this movie is that there's this villager whose cow has gone missing, and he goes to like search for the cow.
It's not his cow.
Yeah, I mean the cow that he is
caring for
on behalf of
Nana Patekar's character.
Yeah, the politician in the village. So he's going out searching for the cow, and he finds the cow, and he's sitting beneath a tree.
Laying down.
Yeah, and he goes to sleep, and he has this vision, like a real psychedelic kind of dream. The dream sequence was, I thought, the best part of it, like how it was depicted. The way it was like depicted as some sort of like unreality. And in this dream, he sees God. Right. I don't know what the god is called in this movie.
Datta.
Yeah, so he sees God in that sort of avatar. And when he wakes up, he's like going across the towns trying to spread the word that the town has been visited by this god. And nobody at first believes him, and they all, once they... They have certain anxieties, right, in their town, and they think that they all are believers in God to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And the people who actually believe that there is a God who can come to this town, that there would be some sort of deliverance.
Yeah.
At least in the beginning, that's the thought process. And how people start... coming up with schemes of how to like essentially trap this vision of God into this town, and how to make money from it, and that's the whole story, like the nexus of politics, religion, and development rhetoric, all of that. I think that's the whole movie going forward. And yeah, there are certain parts which hit actually quite well, and there are certain ironies which are depicted in this movie. Like who builds the temple, and why the reason for the temple is, and like what rationale goes behind like building a temple rather than a hospital, which was the first thing that was going to be built by Nana Patekar's character, the politician. Yeah, there's a lot of there's a lot of pointed and like very overt and very obvious kind of satire, quote unquote, that it goes for this movie.
Yeah, the satire stuff is kind of very apparent and in your face, right? Like, I didn't really love it. Like,
there were a lot of things here which, in a lesser movie, would have been just restricted to how religion is being sold, like in a conventional sense.
Like, but oh my god,
I don't remember much from that movie, but there, I don't think religion is being sold in any way. There. Like, it doesn't comment on much on that.
In PK?
Yeah, maybe in PK. Like, one of the things about this movie is, like, when PK came out, like, 2 or 3 years ago, a lot of people were saying that this movie is considerably better than PK, which, I mean, not a huge achievement. Yeah. But, yeah, it is a better satire than PK, which isn't, like, saying much, but, yeah. A lot of people were bringing it up back then, and I don't think it's that much better or anything. It just, like, none of it is, like, directed at particularly anything. It's just, like, generalities. It's against, like, the generality of politics, of religion, of socioeconomic conditions and how they are changed due to certain factors. It's just, like, vague targets that it's going against, and I think that's kind of deliberate in most Indian movies, where you have to caricaturize things before you go against them, because you can't, if you go against a specific thing, then the consequences are kind of dire. Yeah, getting back to the movie part of it, like where lesser movies would have just been satisfied with how religion is being sold, this movie also shows the how the nexus operates around the selling of religion, like how movies are being downloaded and sold, like how, like, auto-tune bhakti songs are being produced, and like how it's being sold in those aspects, like how actual development feeds into selling of religion, right? It's just like we see right now how, like, WhatsApp is being used for those purposes in this era. And
I don't know if WhatsApp stuff. How is it getting sold in WhatsApp though?
It's more for psychological selling of things. It's more of a
in metaphorical levels.
On a psychological and a sociological level, like how bhakti, autotune bhakti songs are being used. I'm more talking about like how hearts and minds kind of thing, not like actual trade of anything, any money or anything. So, yeah, that aspect in this movie works because it's so loud and how it mirrors reality in that manner. I like the technical aspects of this movie a lot, like how it was shot and how the whole widescreen aspect was used in a lot of scenes.
I don't know. I thought it was competent enough or whatever, but it's not great. Because you can see the flaws in certain scenes, like, very blatantly being there. Like, if you see that initial scene where they're introducing the nanoparticle character or whatever, right?
Mm.
When the scene is about to change or end, it's like you can see where the focus is, and they don't really try to shift it between, like, perspectives or, like, two people. It's just lingering on that one particular spot. So,
I
don't know.
I don't exactly know what you're saying.
It was a wide shot and, like, nanoparticle was standing somewhere. Huh. And the zoom was, or, like, the focus was on him.
Huh.
And then he moved and nobody was standing there. Yeah, focus was still there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not talking about those sort of technical aspects. I'm more talking about how the image is being framed. Mm-hmm. Like, there were a lot of scenes where the widescreen is being used to full effect, where certain things are happening in the foreground and you see characters moving in the background as well. There was this one scene where the house where Nanoparticle lives, the politician, and with his wife, and that his wife is being shown in the foreground, where, like, it's inside the house. And outside the house, like, this, the character of So Kadru finds God, essentially. That guy is moving outside the house. And through a door, you can see him moving outside, and still she's in here. And that sort of like framing of shots where the frame is used to its fullest in a lot of aspects. And there's also a lot of visual style which works for this movie. Like in a particular scene I remember is like towards the end where he has stolen the statue from the temple, and he's trying to reconcile his own faith with like the faith that was being sold in that temple. And he's like, he's stolen the statue, and he's going through these like igneous rock structures, the volcanic black rock, and like he's sitting on top of a peak between peaks. Mm-hmm. And on one peak there is the idol, and the way that the shot is moving, he's having a conversation with the idol, essentially a monologue, and there's this full moon in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And the way the camera moves, it's like the idol is like overlaid with the full moon, as if to have some sort of religious significance, and that sort of thing is littered throughout the movie, and it that works for me. It didn't for you?
It was fine, but nothing. I don't think it's very noteworthy. It's competent enough for this movie, especially like considering what it's trying to do. It's like doing basic satire and stuff. So,
I would disagree with you that it's like a basic satire, because there are certain ironies and juxtapositions in this movie, right? Where like in the first half of the movie, everyone is like anxious, and like everyone thinks that if literally a god would come into their lives, that there would be some sort of reprieve from their day-to-day life, how it's being structured at that moment in time, right? How there are power cuts, how there are...
My problem actually is with more with like you know, the pacing of the thing and how long it is. It's just, it keeps going on after that, right? Like the first half, the point where I am talking about, that guy leaves, that is around like 1 hour 30, right?
Yeah.
Where he lives. So like, yeah, my checking out at that point is kind of justified, in that my interest is kind of lost after that, right?
Yeah.
It's not really doing much after that. It's just going in circles. That song is the transitional song that they use for Dattatreya, and like that satirical song, right? So like that is reused twice in that span. And like, I don't know, I'm kind of, I know what's going to happen in some aspects, right? That's not that big of a leap to take, that he would steal the statue after like that appearance happening to him of that Nasiruddin Shah character or whatever that was.
Hmm.
No? Don't you think there's a problem with pacing here?
I don't think so. I think it was well paced. There were some issues in certain spots, but I think they gel well with what the movie is trying to do, like the writing and the storytelling is trying to do.
Don't you think it just gets kind of loopy in certain aspects?
I don't see that. Like that was like commenting on the fact that how resilient the want of being static is for human beings. It's like reaching an equilibrium is like the desired state of being. It's like even after a little god visits you and you believe that to be true, that becomes mundane and routine for you, because you made it mundane and routine by adding these sort of like daily rituals around it, of selling and like making a mushrooming a hub of like selling these things around the temple.
Well, the stuff that was interesting in the first half, the banter, the, you know, these characters that were being built, like this rivalry between this nephew and uncle, sorry, nephew or uncle, or was it like
they were Manabadegar's character, he has like a relative who is working under him. under his tutelage essentially.
Yeah.
And he has the nephew has like some sort of ambitions of becoming a huge politician himself.
Yeah, so that was the nephew uncle thing, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that kind of falls flat after that, right? Once the thing is established and they all become buddy-buddy, there's no, like...
I think them becoming buddy-buddy is in service of saying that once they're both allowed to sell things together, that's fine by either of them, because in the first half of the movie, they're both in a position where they're both not doing anything at all, right? I mean, they're just like in a stasis, essentially, because of the fact that they believe that there is no development in the village, there are no roads, there are daily power cuts, and how the life in the village orients around those things, the constancy of those things, where those things are happening every day. It's a normal thing. It's like, and they've reached an equilibrium with that, that they have decided to live with those things, right? But afterwards, like after the inflow of the temple cash coming into the village, those things are getting fixed, but there are new problems which come with those things.
I don't know. I thought those aspects were kind of interesting in that it just falls flat all of a sudden, right? Like it doesn't go anywhere. The rivalry just disappears out of thin air. Like yeah, those things could have been explored better.
Yeah, I would say that the human aspects of the movie were totally pushed into the background in service of like broad satire in the second half of the movie.
Yeah.
And like more of a abstract kind of depiction of images rather than just like dialogue.
There was less dialogue. Broad. It was like it's not abstract.
Well, I would say the last at least 15 minutes were more abstract.
That's different. I'm not talking about the last 15 minutes. When the guy comes or when he's just roaming around moping and whatnot, that's a different thing.
I think you should demarcate what guy you're talking about, because you referred to the guy three times and all three times there have been different people. So yeah, what guy are you referring to this time?
The main character who Datta comes to.
Yeah, okay.
So yeah, there's like almost three act kind of deal with this, right? Like first half till like when that guy leaves, and there's after that the whole transition of the how the village has turned or whatever or changed, and then just him throwing the statue out or the build up to that, and plus him throwing it out, and like that I like the fact that they just reestablished the statue and that's where it hard cuts, right? And
yeah,
just leave it to the imagination to like think.
Well, even him throwing the statue is like left to the imagination. It's not shown that he's doing anything. He's just like going into the water with the statue.
And I mean, that
a lot of it is implied there.
That kind of felt like the director kind of covering his ass.
I don't think.
Maybe.
I didn't feel that. Well, covering it, the ass is like in the aspects where he doesn't go for like hard targets and essentially that sort of thing. And yeah, so going back to what I was talking about with the reference to how life of these villagers are in the beginning and how it changes. It's like how you get things, what you actually desired in the beginning, right? These people had desired that they wanted like electricity, constant electricity, better like television, better reception of that, like
I don't know, that's explicit.
Yeah, that's there. I'm more talking about in the fact that they wanted quote unquote the development of the village, right? They wanted more money, they wanted less power cuts, they wanted like better roads. That's been explicated in the movie, like they want these things. They are the way that they are living in there, they're not happy with their current situation and they want things to change. And the way that they approach it is through like how it begins is like kind of kind of interesting because it's like these few guys who hang out at a tea shop, the politicians, like minions essentially, the Nana Patekars, like party minions who hang out at this tea shop constantly, and they are like coming up with schemes how to make money out of this appearance, right? Which they don't believe the god actually appeared. None of them do. They just want to, like, they just want their village's name out there, essentially, in the beginning. That's what their thing is. And the juxtaposition of these characters, like, how they are the embodiment of vices, right? They are, like, they drink and they gamble and they do these things. And then they're, like, the place where they come up with the idea that they need a temple, that we should have a temple. I thought that scene was like the best embodiment of the irony of this movie. It's like these guys sitting in a bar drinking and like talking about how they need a temple and like how temple is essential to life of people or whatever, the rhetoric that they're coming up with while drinking. And like while drinking, because that's such a contrast with the normal bhakt, quote-unquote, image that exists, right? That they're like just drunk, total drunk, and they want a temple. Like, yeah. it's just that sort of like juxtaposition exists throughout the movie, that these people, the ruthless politicians, the people who don't actually believe that Dadda was has come to their town via this essentially the what they believe to be the village idiot, essentially. And they co-opt that story to just meet their own ends, the political ends, the financial ends. I thought that was the central conceit, was very well presented in that way, because it's like not apparent, like it's not like pointed, like that they're how these people are and what they want is like. So who want the temple built are like the embodiment of vices, and the whole town gets swept up in that whole rhetoric, right?
I mean, they kind of got, the town was already on board though. That's the thing, right? They just provided a vessel, so to speak.
Yeah, but who's like, the interesting part there is who's providing the headway, right? I mean, before that, people were also like that scene where Nana Patekar is discussing that old guy with the old guy about like how they're going to build the hospital. That scene was also like a real sly way to say how, like, he's discussing the hospital. The old guy has brought a model of the hospital to his house, and Nana Patekar's character is like broaching the subject of like these people want a temple built, and like actually not really interested in the hospital's model itself. Like, he's just saying, oh, you're going to make this hospital, right? We're going to make a big park in here or whatever, like disingenuous kind of things, where even without the building of the temple, he probably wouldn't have built the hospital. Like, that sort of indication is there.
I don't think that's the case. I think until like his nephew kind of twists his arm, he was on board for building the hospital. There are certain scenes where he's significantly is trying to toe the party line as such, what has been told by his MLAs or whatnot.
So, yeah, my point there is like he is willing to drop the fact that there's going to be a hospital built if there is something more profitable coming along his way, which actually happens in the movie, where he's like his higher up tells him on the phone that you need to build this temple. But before that, when he's elected, he's like, he was being told to build the hospital, and development is more, religion is more a personal thing, and how that shift happens from religious is a personal thing to we must have like religion because that's what the people want, that's the voice of the people or whatever. Yeah, that sort of thing was interesting to me. So in the first half of the movie, the anxieties that people have with regards to these things that they want, like the development that they want, essentially, after they get it, it becomes such a normal thing, and like it isn't commented on, but like it's like people get used to those comforts as well. And even when like you see these scenes with the temple, like how around it all trash is being thrown and like all of that thing.
I don't know what's interesting about that, or like
noteworthy. It isn't like it is. Their desires, what they had in the beginning of the movie, as they were being depicted, once they have those things, it doesn't really bring about a sea change for these people, right? I mean, that's the point of the movie, that they, if you build a temple, or like if it is coming from a disingenuous place, the sort of religiosity, it's not going to end up being like any sort of gain for the community, right? That's what the point of the movie is trying to make. Through these things, there's this one particular scene towards the end where this old grandmother is watching TV, and before stealing the statue, this the villager guy, he comes in and he asks her how many times is she going to the temple now, right? And she says that before everyone was like, we should not have
a
like
villager, a, it's
the main character.
Yeah,
that guy. Yeah. So he's asking beforehand, like these people were like, we should have a temple where we can go and like we can profess our love towards our God. But once the temple is built, it's like, how many times can you go there? She says that, right? That it's like a personal thing. Before, it wasn't a personal thing while building the temple, but it becomes a personal thing afterwards, because that's how you justify it to yourself, how normal things have become with those aspects.
And
isn't that what the movie is trying to say?
Movie is trying to be like a half-assed satire, right? Like it's not trying to say much out of that. I don't think that's particularly satire.
So if
that's just like,
you don't think that
it's more to do with that thing, right? Like that that particular scene that you talk about.
Hmm.
It's more to do with the fact that even before, it was kind of a afterthought, right? Like this temple, this deity or whatever,
mm.
as religious as these people were. Mm. Because when he initially goes and confesses, or like makes this apparent that he saw this deity.
Yeah.
Even then she's like, let me watch this show first and then we'll go to the temple, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's just back to basics and back to the way it was.
Yeah, but even
slightly
there,
better.
Like, it's like a very selfish thing that she's doing there, right? It's not like she's her involvement in that mythologizing, right? It's just her own personal gain thing, and it's like a personal gain thing for a lot of people, where they believe that if this God actually exists, it's like that Pascal's wager thing, right? You might as well believe. Right, because that sort of thing is like the whole belief of these villagers, because they don't explicitly believe in a God, right, in this movie. Like, they don't explicitly believe in God, because a lot of things which are happening in their lives have, like, lifted their whole bhakti, right, from God.
I mean, they were never really bhakts. They were, it's just a matter of being in the limelight or whatever for having their moment in fame. That's the extent of it.
So throughout this movie, from the beginning till the end, none of them actually believe that there was a God there, right? It's all mythologizing. It's all building up this myth that about what happened. It's like embellishing things to make it more of a magical. What do you call it? Like, it's making it more of a tall tale that people would believe, like, the bigger the lie. There's this scene where there's this engineer who comes into on the tree where where they believe that.
Yeah, so that sort of shit I like. Like, he's just like,
He just marked something on the tree, whatever, and like people are like trying to decipher
it and like
shoehorn what their own beliefs are.
That and that the initial scene when they like go to the tree, right?
Yeah.
With his mother and wife to be, I think, wife. I don't know. So they were like trying to put like a thing on it to signify that there's a god or whatever, or some like kumkum or some shit. She's putting it on left and not there, and
she's like, I was on the wrong spot. Yeah, this is the spot. I know this to be true. It's just that sort of thing. It's like, it's that hits in this movie, because it's like,
I already said the slice of life sort of stuff and like this conversation, banter, these things Marathi movies are allowed.
For a movie where we're saying that it's toothless and it's not going after specific targets, the fact that it goes after like this sort of religiosity, that people who are essentially in their heart of hearts, they're not actually believers, like devout believers, that even for them what it takes to like actually build a testament to religion, it's like money, right? It's just like the fact that how much you're going to profit from it. I mean, the whole song that you're talking about that goes on for a long time, it's all of that song is about like how this feeling is. Like, it's just, if you can profit from it, then you're a believer. Otherwise, you're not. It's just like a armor for you, religion.
No, it's not even like with religion comes like just the, it's just a placeholder, to be honest. Like, it's more like, what kind of identity are you going to prop up that's like profitable to you, right? It's like anything in politics, even you get like some person or prop to be there, like placeholder thing, and you put your faith in that and think that it will solve everything, right? Like, this is the cure-all for the masses.
Speaking of cure-all, like, do you think that, like, the old guy you're talking about, the village elder, essentially, who lives in the village and he plays the flute at night, and he's just, like, the whole, like, the patriarch, essentially, of this village.
I don't know if that's... Okay.
Yeah, I mean, what is his role in this movie? I couldn't figure that out. Like, why is he so important to Nana Patekar's character? Like, why is he seeking his counsel, essentially? And why is he in this village to begin with? Like,
I don't know. It's just like,
it seemed very weird to me.
Very, the dynamics. Like, those sort of things that certain people who get a lot of money and stuff, they want patrons or, you know, these kind of, like, in like kings and stuff used to have courtesans that would do like song and dance for them. So this is like that.
I don't,
almost.
He does have autonomy. It's not like he's being subservient to anyone in this movie.
I mean, he's not, but like, that's what Nana Patekar wants in that dynamic, right? Like, he wants this monkey boy to be there whenever he claps.
I don't know. Towards the end of the movie, when the old guy is going to leave, Nana Patekar's character goes and visits him, and he kind of like talks to him and tries to convince him to not leave.
Right? He's more trying to convince him that this development is also a development, right? He's not going and saying that, okay, now we can actually build a hospital, now we can do these things that we were trying to do before, now we have the capital. He's not saying that. He's more like, I mean, this is also a sort of development, right?
What people wanted, they have now.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
He's trying to, like, he does say to the old guy to not leave. He just, like,
he's... Yeah, but he just wants him to keep him around as a prop, right? Like, to say these intellectuals or whatever are saying, and they are also accepting this or whatever.
Yeah, as a political prop. There was one scene where he's saying, like, how women should be educated also, like the old guy is saying.
Yeah,
in the presence, in his house, the Nana Patekar's house, and I thought that was like kind of like patronizing tone that he takes with a lot of things, where he's, even when he's talking to the the guy who's like visited by God.
Mm.
In the night, he's talking to that guy. He's like describing how we are just speck of dust in the vast cosmos or whatever, that sort of thing he's describing there.
Nah, that is actually fine. But like other times, he does seem patronizing or like this grumpy old man who's just hanging around and like not actually taking any action.
What his role was in the village.
Grumpy old man.
That's
disapproving old man giving stern looks.
Yeah, so that's kind of like I don't know what like it's his character signified and like him visiting the ruins and what sort of like the visual metaphor that was being drawn there, and it's just his character kind of rubbed me the wrong way, to be honest. He was the only guy who wanted to have the hospital built, right?
I mean, he didn't
like really even he was fighting the political establishment or whatever at that point. Like,
he wasn't fighting. Oh, but the thing,
he left at the meeting which was happening.
Initially the point was that they were going to build it. They had a model ready, okay.
Yeah.
And suddenly the part line changed, and he is out of like whatever he was doing for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Building this thing or having his son, the architect, make a building over there.
Yeah.
Planning a building over there.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's just cross over that, and like he's just moping around that there's no actual substantial development here, right? Like that's the extent of his character. He doesn't do shit to like actually get that thing back on track or anything. Just he's just lost all hope all of a sudden.
Yeah. One aspect I wanted to talk about in this movie is like the aspect of community involvement and how communities come together to do things, right?
Yeah.
And in this movie, until like the selling of religion comes into the picture, there's no community aspect in this village, right? I mean, there's like people just not taking on responsibilities and just shoving off their own responsibilities onto other people. Yeah, like in the scene where the villager who has seen God, like he has a fever, right? And mm-hmm. all these women come in there, and there's this lady Sarpanch who comes in there, and like mm-hmm. all of them, while they come in there, there's a comedic scene where everyone is asking if he has a fever or like everyone who comes in here. Yeah, yeah. He's burning up. Like nobody says to the person coming in to like explains to them, like bring them up to date or what's happened with this guy, and like
mm-hmm.
they keep repeating themselves. And like afterwards, like towards the end of that scene where the Sarpanch comes in
mm.
and she's like a token Sarpanch, right? In this movie, like she's mm. like a token thing where she doesn't have any actual authority or power. And she's told to like bring some sort of like medicine for this guy, right?
Mm.
And she says, yes, we should bring medicine, right? But I'll ask for my husband to bring it. But like the other woman who's sitting in there, she says that we should use like the fund or whatever, the Sarpanch fund. Point is like everyone is like nobody is like coming together to help anyone in the first half of the movie, right? It's just like the whole atomization of people. Like in this community, everyone is living in their own houses. They're, even if they come together, it's not to like help the community itself. It's just for their own gains, right? And when they do come together, it's to like build this temple. Like after the drunk scene that I'm talking about, where they decide they're going to build the temple and it becomes ratified after that. Like all the people who used to come together, like all these men who used to come together to watch these porn, right, in a place, they all like,
it's not ever a matter of coming together or not. It's just four or five people who just think this harebrained thing and just it happens, right? Like they are kind of like gooning their way through this. Like they're being goons to these people and like just forcing their arms. Arm twisting is happening a lot in this movie. The Sarpanch character gets arm twisted. The MLA character gets arm twisted. Narapatakar's character. And that's how this comes to be.
It's not like they don't want any of this not to happen. Like it's just
no. They were going for a different thing before this, and just by sheer will of force and like political attrition.
My point is, like, they once they decide to build the temple, the way that they use, like, SMS forwards, like, saying that you will die
Other than the disjointedness that was there before, in that nobody actually cared what the other person was
they were
doing.
What I'm saying is they were meeting before in that that tea stall, and they were not doing anything. Like, they were just complaining to each other before. What brought them together to work for a common cause
was the journalist,
the nephew,
the journalist who wanted sensationalism.
Yeah, all of those people were coming together before to just complain about shit.
No, but journalist was the mastermind, right? Like, he
wasn't
came up,
the mastermind.
He came just, up with the idea, man.
My point is that before, in the first half of the movie, they are not doing, they are just complaining about shit. Like, they do have the labor power if they wanted to. Like they did in the later half of the movie of building the temple, if they wanted to, they could have fixed their problems together. But the thing that unites them into, like, actually giving a shit about their community, it's like this teacher guy is going
to... It's not giving a shit. It's all, like, non-altruistic. It's just, like, self...
I'm not saying it's altruistic. I'm saying it's, like, working together.
Well, working together is a different thing when you're, like... Your means or ends are, like, selfish. They all are going to get paid. That's the end of the day.
The pamphlets that he's distributing through his school, the way that the SMS forwards are being sent, like, if you don't send this to 20 other people, you will die, or things like that, they are being sent. Like, everyone is playing their part there, right? Everyone is, like, I agree that it's for profit. They're not doing it out of the goodness of their own hearts. I'm not debating that. I'm saying that in the beginning of the movie, they were not even doing, like, anything at all. When they were, like, just saying that, look how bad our conditions are in this village and whatnot. Like, which god in their right mind would visit this sort of village? Like, that's what they're saying in the beginning, right?
I seriously don't. Okay, I see that much that they were really disjointed before and up their own asses in their own ways. Like they were more self-interested and very insular. Okay, and this is just becoming a more community-based sort of thing. But at the end of the day, they are still going for self-serving means or whatever, you know. It's just about the same thing in different packaging, right?
Yeah, I'm not debating that.
Even with that whole scene of them watching that TV show, it's just now they have a dish antenna and they can watch it anytime they want. They have electricity now, as against when they were doing it once in a night or something like that.
Yeah, so it doesn't change any structural problems of the village, which they themselves didn't want any sort of structural change to happen at all. Like, they just wanted this sort of luxury.
I mean, in their heads, it's essentially like either not knowing about it properly, that what was going to happen with the hospital and stuff.
I don't think that's the case.
And otherwise, it's more just that's going to be a lot more harder to sell. As against a religious piece, which everybody is kind of half on board already, you know.
Everybody was on board because of their own anxieties and how they wanted to escape.
No, but everybody has medical anxieties as well, right? Like, but that's harder to sell as against, you know, a god will strike you down if you don't forward this message 10 times, right?
Yeah, also, there was this one scene where the teacher's wife, they're trying for a baby, right? They're trying to have a baby.
Yeah.
And the scene where the wife is being shown, like, as being pregnant, and I think that was implied that if there was a hospital in the village itself, like, she would have had better care in there, and, like, she's been taken out of the town in the back of a tempo.
I mean, it would have the delivery. Been more impactful if there was a death there or something. Because, like, that doesn't... It's just, like, ye bhi ho raha hai. ये भी हो रहा है It happens very like in a split second sort of thing that it's not like explicated in any way, and I don't think that was the intent there either, and also like that scene where when the whole village is coming in, seeing that guy, the lead character who faints, right?
Yeah.
And after that is the wife or something.
She's not his wife. She's like destined to, like there's going to be an arranged marriage between them.
Wife to decided, be, say, yeah. Like, yeah. So when she goes out to get the medicine or something that, something of that sort, right? Like she faints as well. And there's no explanation as to what happened there. And like,
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, so it was just like, kuch bhi was,
I don't know.
We have religion and stuff, right? Like, just focus on that.
Yeah, it's like, it's kind of like,
that happened, right? Okay.
No, but it's more, most of the movie is more in service of like, saying like, look at what beautiful satire we have constructed for religion.
Yeah, it's very like self-satisfied, right? Like in certain scenes.
Yeah, it is. So look at this beautiful. Yeah, but it is like it fulfills that sort of thing in a
certain
lot of aspects.
Certain sense, yeah. But mostly it doesn't. So I don't know.
I like the editing in this movie as well. Like how it's edited. It's not noteworthy, but it's competently done in it. Especially within that song sequence that happens. It's that like in the first in the movie that people know how they are oppressed, right? How they are like second class citizens or whatever. They understand the tools that are being used to oppress them, right? It isn't like they are unaware of what's being used to oppress them, like how hierarchical power structures that are being used in this movie to oppress them. They're aware of those structures.
Probably are, I think.
They just, the thing is that like it in this movie, it's like they want a part of that power, right? They don't want that thing to go away. They don't want the oppression to go away. They just want to be like party to it, right? They just want a piece of that pie. Like they want to be involved in the oppression.
I mean, again, they are using like it's
all the people in this movie.
I don't know.
That are being given like the voice actors, the people who have been given a dialogue or whatever, all of them in the first half of the movie, they are kind of like oppressed by the politics.
But I don't see the exact thing you're talking about other than the core four group of who changed the dynamics of this village, essentially.
Yeah.
Other than that,
the people who are selling like the pirated music and pirated movies, the people who are selling that, people who are selling like,
but they are only doing those things later.
That's what I'm talking about. Later, they become a part of that machinery. Before they weren't. Before they were like scattershot.
But they weren't exactly dissatisfied in their lives.
I think that's a huge part of this movie, that they are dissatisfied with what their lives are.
Perhaps. That's
one of the reasons why they so readily accept the fact that they're going to build a temple, right? That they're so dissatisfied.
It was just like out of, you know, satisfaction and stuff kind of comes later on after first it's a religion, right?
Yeah.
First and foremost, it's the religious aspect that draws them in, and then they are just puppets of this religion. They are doing the, you know, nitty-gritty.
I don't think they're puppets of religion per se. It's more like power that is associated with this selling and trade of religion, right? It's more
So it is like a machinery to feed like this religion, this temple,
Don't you think that like they know that it's a game, the politics thing, like they know that, they realize how much of a flimsy thing it is.
I don't think other than the core 4-5 thing, other people don't really care about that.
I'm just referring to those people in this context, like how like a phone call is all it takes like the older politician character who's like denigrating, like been denigrated by Nana Patekar's character. Yeah, he's like when he receives that phone call before that, when he's like in the car with the older politician. The older politician is talking about like extolling the virtues of how religion should be more personal and you should build a hospital, right? That's what he says in the beginning. And
no, that's the party line or whatever. Yeah. Is what
but once mean. He gets the phone call after the nephew has like sent him a message that the temple is not going to be built while they're having this meeting underneath in the town or whatever. He Nana Patekar's character receives a phone call from that politician, the older politician.
Yeah.
And the call is like, you should build a temple. And how quickly that party line changes, like, it's all like a game kind of thing, right? I mean, it's just like you have to, it all changes with the direction of the wind, essentially. It's like just like a all like farcical, right? It's a farce. All of them understand that. How much of
the satire in this is very slapstick.
It is, yes, but like, so, it's,
I mean, it's, in that sense, I don't like slapstick satire as such, so that's...
But I don't think all of it is slapstick. It's like pretty, kind of, it gets much. Kind of dark as well, like, especially towards the end, it kind of gets...
Whatever, what's your point?
Yeah, my point is that these people just want to participate in this oppression, like in this sort of power structure.
Well, they were always a part of the oppression, though. They were always being oppressed. They didn't give a shit about that.
I'm talking about
they had their TV there.
They want a part of the power, right? They don't want the structure to go away. They don't want any sort of structural change. They just want,
they like, being the four guys.
They being the all of the people.
No. Other people just feel that they don't really have a say in the matter, right? Like they are willing to be subservient to any overlord, be it those four guys or that one Nana Patekar character. You know,
yeah,
that's the paradigm shift that happens throughout the movie, and that's what everybody is going along for the ride. I mean, it's kind of undercut by, or like more amplified by the religious aspects, right?
Yeah.
You kind of become subservient to this deity without thinking much of it.
Mm.
So it's just a placeholder things.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not disagreeing with that. Bye.